Hi friends, we will start with chapter 2 on distribution management as an overall subject. What is this chapter 2 is all about? Chapter 2 is about physical distribution process, within which we will also understand distribution budget and its development, etc. So we set learning objectives for us, which is understand the overall process of physical distribution and then come to understand what the distribution budget is all about. So let's start with the physical distribution process, understanding the process of actual distribution. So this is being a management function, very critical, as I have said earlier also in my chapter 1, wherein customer satisfaction is derived at the minimum cost by optimizing various trade-offs that you have. So overall, every manufacturing organization, the need is to have get the raw material to manufacture in a most optimum way, manner, at the lowest cost, and then provide consumers the finished good in ready to use condition within the desired time frame or desired customer service level that you set for yourself. That is the distribution mission that you set for yourself. So essentially, let's take the overview of the supply chain. I want to convey to you the two critical aspects that any supply chain of any goods generally have de facto two levels, B2B and B2C part of the supply chain. Take an example of a car manufacturer. He needs steering, he needs tires, he needs alternators, whatever. That all is supplied by, say, Bosch, Sona Steering, MRF, etc. to, say, one car manufacturer, say, Mahindra. They, in turn, has to supply in the market so that goods reaches the final consumers. This chart is not necessarily for the car manufacturer. It is just given to you to make you understand. First, I will make you understand B2B part, where having done this, the same raw material guy tries to supply this to the local market because he has to meet the demand of certain other manufacturers or certain other customers in that area. So this he achieves by providing it to the regional distributors that has been provided by him, appointed by him, and they in turn supply to the local retailers, and then local retailers supply to the finished raw material part to the consumers. Many times, to safeguard the interest, there is also a certification at this level that they try and derive, the Bosch certified, say, part guy, etc., or say, like that kind of a thing. Come to this, any product you take, it might have certain variations. You see the lines crisscrossing here and there. What I am essentially trying to tell you that the B2C part of the supply chain management has various options possible in terms of distribution beyond manufacturers. Today, the manufacturers, before the GST implementation, have to store their goods into different state godowns to avoid variables in the state tax structures, etc. And only when they, because till that time, the ownership is in their hand. Please understand, tax is applicable when the ownership changes. Now, after that, they supply to either the authorized distributor. Many companies have a setup called authorized distributor. Car guy is one of them, you can easily understand. Therefore, I am giving that example again and again. Or you have a carrying and forwarding agent. Most of the finished goods, or say FMCGs and those kind of fast moving consumer goods, etc., will have carrying and forwarding agents, etc. They may not have the authorized distributors. You do not know from where the Lays come to you, or you do not know from where the Coke comes to your home, etc. So these are the carrying and forwarding. There are many companies have direct distributors. There is no carrying and forwarding agents, but the direct distribution. Carrying and forwarding is generally done so that the ownership at this level is still with the company. So you again take care of your taxable listing, as well as the market service is a focus. You can directly supply to the distributor, so that is shown you from the state warehouse. All these guys supply to the retailer or authorized distributor, especially they serve directly to the customers. But the CNF agent and distributor supply in the market to the local retailers. It could be Panwalas, it could be general stores, it could be cutlery stores, whatever. And from there, you try to buy the goods. You try to buy the goods for your consumption. But later, you also need something serviced or replaced in that goods. This is achieved by the same local retailer providing this in the replacement market. You go to the, when your mixture is out of order, you go to the local mechanic or local mixture repairer. Now, from where he will get that alternator or the switch for your part, etc. Again, that is a, he knows who's a local retailer or the local, this, you know, this thing of distributor of the, that product, spare parts, etc. From there, he procures those items and services your repairing needs, etc. So that's the whole overview of the supply chain, B2B and B2C component thereof. What we are trying to understand the process. So let's move forward. Physical distribution process. So having understood this, as I am trying to bring you closer, there could be various options possible. This chart is drawn with the objective of providing you one unified picture. I have taken more from the B2C perspective, that is business to business, business to consumer perspective, not from business to business perspective. So this chart probably holds good for, say, wafers, or this chart holds good for the Colgate or toothpaste, etc., or shampoos, etc. It doesn't hold good for supply of the engines, etc. So now quickly, there are raw material guys. Everyone needs a raw material. The FMCG producers may have multiple factories across the country. So these goods are reached to the multiple factories. This goods may reach to the central raw material warehouse from where it is supplied to the manufacturing companies, etc. Having done this, there may be certain parts which goes to a third party manufacturer. So again, he say like alternator is a sum total of magnets or wires, etc. So now there may not be somebody who makes the alternative and directly supplies it to the car guy. The wires, the magnets, etc. go to a third party hired by the OEM. So say Mahindra has hired somebody to make a quality alternatives. So he gets the raw material from the raw material supplier. He manufactures alternative and supplies it to the manufacturer. So they all come to the production stage. The factory manufactures it. Factory manufacturer supplies to the central warehouse. The concept is central warehouse, large warehouse. It could be within the factory premise, or it could be at some particular place, logistically very significant. After that, what happens? Generally, the CNF agent, the carrying and forwarding agents are pulled in. So generally, the fast moving goods systems have the clearing and forwarding agents, carrying and forwarding agents. They own a lot of responsibility. The goods are not in the names of the clearing and forwarding agents. It is carrying and forwarding agents. I'm sorry. Goods are still in the names of the company. These people, by virtue of their infrastructure, ability, etc., the business that they want to be in and put together makes them a very strong carrying and forwarding agents. He has his own, say, like warehouse, or he has a capability to hire a warehouse to stock your goods, etc. He does that. There's so various levels the CNF agents come into picture. They in turn supply goods to the distributors. Distributors are again closer to the market. Closer to market means Bhiwandi could be the carrying and forwarding agents, but then goods reach a distributor in, say, central Mumbai, south Mumbai, north Mumbai, etc. And from there it goes to the various retailers, which, as I told you earlier, could be Panwala, so the general stores near you, and finally you go and buy them. So you must understand, because linked to this, there are processes that is going to come in as we move forward. So various combination of linkages are possible. We have studied this. I am not probably going to spend say much time out here, but that entirely depends on the product nature, the customer service level, the transportation costs, warehouse, etc., availabilities, the nature of warehouse setup that you have, etc. So that various combinations are possible, as I told you, essentially based on the nature of goods, based on the channel of distribution that you decide. So same manufacturer may have little complex, linkage, but his online linkage may be more straight. So it's the same manufacturer also supplies goods through his portal. So when the portal order is given, he uses a different linkage. So that is also possible. So all these are possible combination we have looked at. Linkage formation depends, as I told you, the nature of product, perishable, bulk products, or it is, loose products or loose bulk, etc., as you say, or it's like, daily consumable items, or it is irregularly consumed items, needed items as and when basis kind of thing. So all those aspects drive the formation of linkage, because your distribution channel has to meet those requirements. Company distribution policy is the objectives, like what are your distribution policy, this comes from your distribution missions, etc. and then what is an objective that you want to achieve, the type of the market, whether you are into fast competitive market, whether you are into static market, whether you are into monopolistic market. So all those aspects drive your linkage, what you create for yourself, the geographical spread, how the depth at which you have to reach your consumers. So rural market again has a different challenge. So your different distribution linkage could be different for that. The size of the organization itself, whether you are a large multinational, medium, small, local, or you are a national or you are an international player, etc., determines your entire formation of a linkage. The scale of operation, at what level that you operate vis-a-vis the stage of the product life cycle, also decides whether new introduction, growth phase, static phase or the downfall phase, etc. So all those things determine your formation, which distribution channel you will use, so that overall you manage your effectiveness and your margin objectives intact. So let's understand the levels of distribution first. There are levels, that is 0, level 1, 2 and 3 generally. Level 0 is what it conveys is a direct sale from the manufacturer. So if the manufacturer is directly selling it to the end consumers, if Colgate reaches to me directly from the factory of, say, Colgate Palmolive, then that's a level 0. But that's not the case. It could be the case more so in B2B, but less likely in the B2C kind of a market environment. Level 1 is that one more intermediary is introduced between the manufacturer and the end consumers. So here, this intermediary level supplies the goods, procures the goods from the manufacturer, takes the ownership of it and gives it to the final consumers. So he is an interlink between the manufacturer and the consumers, but here the ownership passes on to him. Level 2 is like there are two intermediaries in between. Example here could be wholesaler selling it to the retailer or CNF agents passing it on to the retailer, etc. So that's a kind of a two level, as they say, level 2 possible. Again, more so likely in the consumer goods. Then comes the level 3, which is here the earlier chart that we saw probably is the level 3 where you have carrying and forwarding agent, distributor, and then the retailer. There could be another level called agents, etc. That could be also there. The agent work for the companies primarily get the supplies arranged through the CNF agents or the wholesalers, etc. And they ensure that consumers and the retailer have the required stock and consumer get the stock what they are looking for and the items what they are looking for. So that's the level 0, level 1, level 2, level 3. So that's known as the levels of distribution that one need to understand in structuring our thought for the process of distribution. Now, what are the methods of distribution that we are going to look at? It's an intensive distribution, the intensive, selective and exclusive distribution. So intensive distribution is all about, it is more intense, because the items are consumed also at an intensive level. Maggi noodles are consumed more frequently in house than probably any other aspects, or say ketchup, sauces, etc. are consumed more intensely. The toothpaste, toothbrushes, toothpaste actually, so to say, are consumed daily, twice a day, by the each family members, etc. So they and similar such item may need intensive distribution. Close proximity is expected. Consumers will not walk 4 steps if he is supposed to get this item in 2 steps. So if suppose he doesn't get it 2 steps, he may look for alternative at the 3rd step rather than taking the 4th step to buy the same brand, same product, etc. So that's where aspect of this close proximity comes in. Therefore, you have to have not only different types of outlet, it could be panwalas who stock refill packs of toothpaste or any other items, shampoos, etc. The sachets and all are available easily at panwalas, while the bottle shampoos and all are available at a general stores, etc. So all these things are determined based on the intensity that you want to give it to your distribution. Your distribution is designed by your marketing conditions. The goal of intensive distribution is to penetrate as much, do not allow competition to come in very close to the consumers, and it is like not very specific to the nature of outlets. They do not determine what outlet types could be. If the guys are willing to sell, they orient themselves to make the product available so that consumer proximity is achieved. So you get soft drinks, you get shampoo sachets, etc. to very closest of your destination. You don't have to go really very far to buy such items. So that's an intensive distribution. Selective distribution is like occasionally needing items, but they are used on a regular basis. So maybe toothbrushes and those items are selective distribution. I'll even put shampoos and all. You buy the large bottles of shampoo, so mahina, do mahina tak, you don't have to really worry about buying them. Ketchup, if you buy one, ketchup bottle, then you may 3 months or so, you don't have to really rebuy them. So these are all such items are selective. Clothes, etc. are selective distribution, because it's not that I buy every, and I buy, say, you wear same shirt and within 8-15 days it gets, torn off, etc. No. So there are items which are for the selective distribution. Therefore, the items are made not available as deeply as what probably the intensive distribution type. So those items may not be available with the panwalas, but they are okay, generally available with the select general stores, etc. It allows manufacturers to pick up a price point and target a specific market. So this kind of a selective distribution allows him to achieve specific desired organizational objectives, both in terms of price point, the marketing penetration, etc. Then comes the exclusive distribution. This is like in sync with the brand. It emerges out of what brand stands for. Like, therefore, the outlets are limited. They maintain basic hygiene conditions. They offer the required customer experience. They are designed to give that customer an experience, etc. And maintain the exclusivity, maintain uniqueness of being there, etc. So you talk about retail, suit making, or say Titans or Rado watch outlets, etc. So they are like a consumer gets a feel of being exclusive. So they feel that they got an experience of buying jewelry from Titan Jewel. So that's the importance of it. Rado will have its own exclusive outlets. So they service you, they give you that experience of buying such a costly watch. So that's where the exclusive distribution come into picture. So other stakeholders in the physical distribution that we need to understand is clearing and forwarding agents are one step below the carrying and forwarding. It's like here their role is to clear from railway yards or from the ports, etc., and make the goods move ahead. Distributors, he comes under CNF, this thing, they are closer to market. Super stockist is again either the wholesaler or the major stockist, who probably not only stock same company's brand, they may be having other company's brand, they may be or they may be stocking all your product range. Otherwise, there are stockists or the distributors, say, like for example, a company like Hindustan Levers, they have a food products, they have a skincare products, they have hygiene products. Now, there may be a super stockist may be keeping most of your items. Otherwise, those other CNF agents or other distributors, some of them may be distributor only for your food items, some of them for your skincare products, etc. It may be that way. Dealer, retailer, we probably know large format, large retail formats are again supermarkets or super stores, like kind of a concept. Franchisee is like somebody who works exactly like your store, under the same identity, standards, program, same service delivery, same process efficacy, etc., is known as a franchisee, wherein unless told, you cannot make out that this is not an outlet of that brand. It is run by somebody as a professional outlet, franchise. Exclusive showrooms, we have studied multi-brand outlets. So they come in different forms and formats. Retail chain, like you have superstores like Shopper Stop or Westin, etc. So there are various ways. Institutional customers, again, very, that's a lot which is a market as a separate setup is needed. These are the people working in certain institutes, large corporates, various OEMs, various manufacturers want to vie for those people. Therefore, various promotion schemes, various offers are worked out in consultation with those institutes and all. Or say, their defense buys jeeps for them. So they call for a jeep this thing from Fiat, from Maruti, from Mahindra, etc. So these are all institutional customers. They buy in bulk many times. So this is what we needed to understand. All these aspects, physical distribution process needs a understanding of this intermediary which we have acquired, but various decisions are linked to that. How do you do? Whether should I have a CNF agent, should I have a distributor, or what is the linkage that I should have, etc. Because as you have studied earlier, all this will determine your distribution mission, all this will determine your logistics, so inventory policy, the warehouse strategy, the transportation strategy, customer service level strategy will get impacted. So these are the few points which gets analyzed, and meeting customer service requirement, that's the primary, that what is that level that you want to achieve, reduction in the amount of capital. So like capital is gets employed, and if you make a stock and then it lies unutilized, or if you create more linkage, more outlets, your stock at every level, you have to have certain minimum stock. So that all is an employed capital in that. Flexibility of capacity, like market being moving or market being seasonal, etc. You need a capacity flexibility. So you decide, okay, I will have a lease warehouse, or I will have total outsource warehouse, or I will run my own warehouse, etc. So those kind of decisions, geographical coverage we have discussed, how to lower operating cost. So maybe there are ways. Leasing of warehouse or say outsourcing of the service may help you to reduce your cost, because they are more efficient, they are large, they use technology, they use various tools and infrastructure to their advantage. That benefit is passed on to you. Problems are establishing accountability, such as stock losses, etc. If that's what you want to achieve, then more and more you come closer to your having a warehouse, then the leased or outsourced warehouse, etc. Enable it to respond quickly to the special demands. And each linkage has its own advantage and disadvantage. So it's like, if you do not achieve the required response rate, what is the fallout that is going to happen? One need to really evaluate that. Higher cost due to damage and stock losses, etc. As they typically say, the outsource warehouse or third party handling of warehouse, etc., results in more losses, etc., because those guys are least bothered about your goods and all. So companies have found ways to put a performance pressure on the such guys to give them certain expected revenue and all. So companies, organizations are working both ways. Communication problems with the high end users, etc., or the other end users. So how do you communicate various things with your consumers? So IT integrity, the technology bandwidth integration with the internet, etc., will only give you the desired delivery of communication to the consumers. So between these aspects, various trade-offs, cost-benefit analysis are derived to decide what should be your right strategy and tactics. So which linkage should have, and how you go forward in creating your B2C distribution or B2B distribution, as the case may be. So logistics strategy requires few aspects to be looked at. So reduction in the overall transportation cost by moving large and bulk shipments. So that's a primary rule, or the first strategy of any logistics distribution is move as much as possible. So that full truckload, FTL as they say, full truckload, so that cost per unit of transportation, cost of transportation per unit of goods moved is minimal, or it is lowest if you do a full truckload. If you do part truckload or half truckload, accordingly your cost of movement per unit goes significantly higher. Response time, what is that the response time you want to achieve? So many time limited truckload and part truckloads happen because you want to achieve the required response time. You cannot wait till you get a full truckload. So in such case, it's a response time which is very important. Again, then you have to strike a balance between the two. Dispersing inventories across a widespread of your warehouses. So across different warehouses, what should be the minimum? What should be the safety stock so that you do not get into the situation of stockouts, etc., that you want to achieve? What should be the reorder level at which? What should be the reordering quantity? So that economic ordering quantity is the concept we will study ahead. All these aspects are needed to be put in your strategy. And so that's what logistics strategy requires, is understanding of this. Limitations to be considered. So limitations that a distribution manager or logistics manager always faces, the inventory costs. So he needs to know what will be offset against higher inventory cost or to get in a lower inventory cost, what other trade-off it needs to get in, the warehousing cost, the transportation cost, as I have said, and earlier also we have studied the communication cost. So there is a cost to communication also. So logistics strategy requirement essentially needs to cover this aspects. So while you develop a strategy, you take care of few other aspects which are mentioned here.